Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to just say good morning to each and every one of you all. My name is Tabika Garnes, and I will be your host for this morning. Some of you have heard my voice before on this line, and maybe some of you are new to the line. But periodically, Apostle Banks will ask me to do the show for her because she's not able to do it. And this morning, she is not able to do it. She isn't feeling well, and she has a funeral she has to go to. So I ask that you all keep her lifted up in prayer. And so this morning, I want to begin in prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing, Lord God. I thank you for bringing us throughout the night, Lord God. I thank you for keeping your hedge of protection over us and making sure that we're okay, oh God, and that no hurt, harm, or danger visited our doorsteps, Lord God. Father, we just praise you, Lord, for everything that you're doing right now, God. Everything that's going on in this season, God, we know that you are in control. No matter what it looks like, it may look like for him, Lord God, but we know that that is a lie. And so, God, we bless your name right now, God, and we rejoice, God, because you are faithful, Lord God, and you are consistent, and you love us unconditionally, Lord, and we just want to give you praise right now, Father God. We want to give you praise. We want to honor you, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, there was none like you. And so, Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our creator, Lord, and there was none like you. There was none like you in all the earth. And God, we just give you praise on this morning. We give you praise on this morning, and we honor you, Father God, and we bless your name, and we thank you, Father God, for every promise that you've made, every blessing, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We know that there are things, Lord God, that we may be struggling with. God, we give it to you on this morning, and we allow you to have your way in our lives, oh God. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that this word this morning, Lord God, what I'm sharing this morning, God, I pray that it would touch the heart of those that are listening, Lord God, and then they may be able to share it with someone else. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for everything, for everything, for everything, God. We lift you up this morning. Father, we know that we're nothing without you, Lord God, and we know that we can do nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. And so, God, we just love you, Lord. We just love you and thank you for just everything, Lord God. I just can't thank you enough, God. I'm filled up this morning, Father God, and I can't thank you enough because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the Prince of Peace, oh God. You are our Father. You are Emmanuel, God, and we just thank you, Lord God, for everything, and we praise you, and we honor you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, all right. So you are listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And if any time during the time that I'm sharing, if you have a comment or you want to share something or you want to just, if you've dealt with this particular thing that I'm talking about, please feel free to share. You would press 1 on your keypad, and then I would see you light up on the studio, and I would, allow you to come in and share. So this morning I wanted to talk about how to overcome rejection, and I know at some point before Apostle has spoken about rejection, but in my heart I felt that we had to speak about this again because this is a real, real big issue. A lot of people suffer through the spirit of rejection, and you may not know it. You may not know that they're suffering through the spirit of rejection. They may act a certain way, but you're not understanding why, and it's because somewhere in their childhood something happened, and it caused rejection to take root in their hearts. And so because I've dealt with this spirit for so long, I've dealt with this spirit. It's an ugly spirit, and I just wanted to expose it for the ugliness that it is. And so prayerfully, everybody can hear me and hear me clearly. I haven't done the show since some things have changed. And so I really hope that you guys can hear me. So the spirit of rejection is a demonic bondage, and it's most common things that we must talk about in order to be set free. So it attacks the very person that we are. It destroys our self-esteem, and it attacks who we are and our purpose in life. And this is why it is one of the most common tools that the devil will use to destroy a person's life. And before I continue, I just want to share where I got this information from. One of the places that I received got this information about rejection is from greatbiblestudy.com, and also a website called Above and Beyond Christian Counseling. And so I just wanted to put that out there before I continue to talk about the spirit of rejection. So God never meant for us to feel rejected or abandoned. And he really desires for us to know who we are. So we know that God deeply loves us. He accepts us even through our mistakes, even through our rebellion, even through our stubbornness. And we've tended to reject him at times as well. But he understands and he loves us through it anyway. He appreciates who we are. He knows that each and every one of us is unique in our own way. We don't think alike. We basically don't do the same things alike. We're all made and created differently, although we all were created in his image. We all were created differently. And sometimes in dealing with the spirit of rejection, we tend to compare ourselves to others. And I know that for me is a big issue for me. I tend to compare myself to others, and then when I feel as if I don't measure up, I kind of just shut down. And so I'm learning to get to the place to just embrace who I am, and just because someone else can do something else and it may seem like it's, you know, it's better than what I can do, or it looks better than what I can do, the enemy wants us to stay in that place of comparison because it makes us feel low, and it shatters our self-esteem, and it makes us not want to move forth in the things of God. And so we have to know, understand, and recognize the tricks of the enemy, and comparison is one of the tricks of the enemy when you're dealing with the spirit of rejection. God's word tells us that without being rooted and grounded in love and acceptance of God, we cannot experience the fullness of God in our lives. And Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Rejection has a way of destroying a person's life in a way that few other things can. And the sad fact about that is the number of people who are affected by rejection is staggering. If we want to be all that God has created us to be, then overcoming rejection and its effects is vital and absolutely essential. That spirit of rejection wants us to stay in a place of being rejected. It doesn't want us to fully come into the knowledge of who we are in Christ, because we are powerful, because the Lord is powerful, because he's given us the power, dominion, and authority. We have the same power of Christ. But the enemy does not want us to tap into that power, because he knows in some cases, some of us can say one word and someone would come to Christ just because of that one word. And so if he can keep us in a place of feeling less than, he knows that we won't open our mouths to share the goodness of who God is. And we must learn to share that. Rejection will keep you in a place of that shyness. You know, I for me, being shy was really, really bad at some point in my life, and I'm really moving away from that now. And sometimes I even amaze my own self sometimes when I hear myself speaking, and when I'm doing things like this. You know, at first I'm really, really nervous, and I'm trying to get myself to calm down. And the good thing about this is that I'm not standing in front of a whole bunch of people, so it's a little bit easier to get through. Because for me, when I'm standing in front of people and I look at their faces, and if it's like a blank stare on their face, or if I can see confusion or or it looks like they're not understanding what I'm saying, it throws me off, and I'm trying to read their faces. I'm trying to wonder if what I'm saying, you know, is really piercing their hearts, or do they not really understand what I'm saying, or am I boring, you know, wondering if is it not enough enthusiasm in what it is that I'm saying. So, yes, I go through all those things when I have to speak in front of people, and it comes from wondering if you're measuring up, wondering if you're good enough, wondering if what you're saying, if the people is really getting it. And then when nobody is saying anything and it's just quiet, nobody's smiling, you know, nobody's nodding their heads, it the spirit of rejection will begin to speak. And it's awful when you're standing in front of people and you can't get a hold on shutting that the mouth of that spirit, telling it to leave you alone, shut up, you know, be quiet, trying to fight through that while you're ministering in front of a crowd, in front of people, and you're trying to fight through that spirit. It's really hard. And so going back, you know, people who have faced rejection and abuse as a child, they grow up with unresolved emotional wounds. Rejection causes emotional wounds, which if not cleansed and released will grow infested into spiritual wounds such as unforgiveness, envy, blaming God, jealousy, etc. And those spiritual wounds open us to evil spirits, which love to take advantage of this opportunity to invade us. The goal of the enemy is to get us built up with emotional baggage inside and negative feelings in our hearts against one another, ourselves, and God. And so when I was younger, and I feel like I've shared this before with you guys, but when I was younger, and it started in elementary school. I am dark skinned, but it's weird. Sometimes as you get older, your skin just lightens up. But back then, I was dark skinned, and I was teased for being darker than others. My sister is fair brown skin, and people would compare me to her. Basically, the kids would. So the kids would tease me. The kids would ask me, you know, why my sister is prettier than me, and you know, just call me names and things that really hurt and pierced my heart. And so what happened with that is that growing up, I lived in my sister's shadow. I felt like everybody saw her and nobody saw me. You know, everybody wanted to be around her and nobody really wanted to be around me. So it caused me to go into this place where I wanted to become invisible. Because I felt like if I was invisible or if I was quiet, that nobody would see me. Therefore, if I'm quiet, it's not given a chance for people to make fun of me. And so I lived in that place for so long, and it's like my little sister became the big sister because it was like I needed her to defend me. And I never shared this with my parents growing up because I just figured they wouldn't understand. They were adults, you know, why would they understand? But those things that those children said to me, you know, how they treated me, it caused me not to want to be seen, me to be quiet, me to stay in the background. I could be in a room and not say anything at all. I would just listen and wouldn't say anything at all. It could be for an hour, 2 hours, and I wouldn't say one thing. And people get me and think that I was, you know, stuck up or whatever have you. But that wasn't the case. I was so tired of being hurt that I felt like if I was quiet, no one could see me. And so I stayed in that place for so long that I lost my identity. And I wouldn't do things. My mother had us in Girl Scouts. I hated it. I hated going to the little retreats and stuff that they had because I wanted my mother. You know, I wanted to be up under my mother. I didn't want to leave my mother. Or if my sister wasn't going, I definitely was not going because it was like I always needed someone to be with me. Like, I couldn't do stuff by myself. Even to this day, the only thing that I like doing at times by myself is being alone by myself. I seldomly ever reach out to people and ask them, you know, do you want to hang out with me? I seldomly do that. And then what happens with that is type of way, wondering why people won't reach out, wondering why I'm the always the one reaching out to people. Nobody reaches out to me. Nobody calls me and asks me if, you know, if I want to hang out with them. But it's just two-way. It's a two-way thing. If I'm not reaching out to people, they may not think that I'm the type of person that want to be bothered with people. You know, the things that we assume about one another and we don't talk about it, we just assume that that's how that person is. But until we get to the place where, or until I get to the place where I'm reaching out to people and I'm asking them, you know, you want to hang out with me, you want to do this, you want to do that, you know, that spirit of rejection is so cunning. It plays a lot of games, and that is the major one that it plays with me, is trying to get me to disconnect from people and be by myself. And although I love to be by myself, I do, and I don't know what it is, but I love being by myself. But then on the other end of it, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm lonely, and I'm not lonely in my marriage, but I feel like outside of my marriage, as far as like girlfriends and things like that, I seldomly do things with people. And I'm pushing myself to try to do that, and I'll talk myself out of stuff. Like if somebody would, and I used to do this a lot of times when I was younger, someone would invite me somewhere, and I would say, okay, I'm coming. Yeah, I'm going to come. And then when the time comes, I would ponder and make up excuses why I don't want to go. And so a lot of times people invited me to stuff, and I would tell them that I was coming, and I just wouldn't show up because I didn't have enough guts to tell them that I didn't want to come. So I would just accept the invitation and then don't show up. And after, you know, multiple times of doing that, people stopped inviting me to stuff. And then I would wonder why people don't invite us, because I would tell them that I was coming and then don't come because I've talked myself out of going because I just couldn't bring myself to being around people, being around a whole bunch of people. And so that's my issue that I have at times, is that being around a whole bunch of people, it kind of turns me off. And so I'm getting to that place where if I tell somebody I'm coming, I do my best to come, and it still happens where the time gets closer and I'm trying to talk myself out of not going, and I have to push myself to go anyway, even if I don't want to go. And so those that are just joining us, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This morning I'm talking about how to overcome rejection and some of the symptoms and signs of rejection. Apostle Banks is not on the line this morning. She's not feeling well, and she has a funeral to attend, so I just ask that you guys keep her listed up in prayer. And I think there's somebody that wants to share. Your last four digits is 9021. Good morning.
Good morning. This is just she's in my prayers. I talk to her. I'll call her later on in the evening. I'm Joyce from New York.
Good morning. All right, well, thank you so much for that. Was it anything that you wanted to share?
No, I like to listen a lot.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. And if you do have anything you want to share, just press 1 again on your keypad, all right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I do have another caller that wishes to share. Your last four digits is 1816. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Kim. And I thank you for sharing this morning, because this rejection thing is real. And, you know, I just wanted to say, even Jesus faced rejection. But for us, how we can overcome, and I think we've all experienced rejection at some point in time in our lives, but if we stay in the Word of God and we understand and comprehend the love God has for us, that is the real solution to rooting out rejection. There are other things we can do, but we have to stay in prayer and stay before God, because only love can root out that rejection. Only His love can really get to the root of the rejection and get it out. Like I said, I know I've experienced rejection myself, and I'm sure we all have. And it wasn't until I began to comprehend God's true love for me and His plan for me that I could get past, like you said, what other people look like, what other people may be thinking or saying behind the scenes, because people are going to always think something. They're going to always say something. People are going to always, you're not going to always be received. So it comes with, and then it also comes when we comprehend God's love for us and we love ourselves fully, then we can get past what other people are doing and saying. Doesn't mean it's easy, but through the power of God, we can get through that and not allow it to root and take root in us and cause us to, you know, take on the spirit of rejection. Because we're going to face rejection, but it's a difference between facing rejection and having a spirit of rejection working in us. Because that, you know, that's a, it's a lot. But that's my two cents for this morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. And I thank you for sharing. Yes,
amen.
You're so correct on, you know, what it is that you just shared. We have to know and understand God's love, and know that it's not always what it seems. And once we get those scriptures in our hearts, and then our minds receive what it is that the word is saying, that spirit of rejection cannot live, cannot continue to live and manifest in our lives. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing.
Amen. Amen.
All righty. So we have another caller that wishes to share. Your last four numbers are 6184. Good morning.
Good morning. This is
good
Lady
morning.
Joyce. Good morning to you. I just wanted to be a spirit of encouragement to you. That old thing of rejection, and you know, when I hear you talk about being dark, that particular spirit has been around forever. And I'm telling you, it is damnable. I went through that route of rejection also, because I don't think I'm the darkest person in the world, but I am brown. And in school, they made a big difference. And then when I was raised by a family of total light-skinned people, whereby I couldn't wear the red and the yellow plaids. I had to wear the blue and the brown. Okay, so there was always a difference made. And my dad was always called that old Black Richard, you know. And so that root happened so early in life. And so now when things happen in our lives, it takes us back into that rewind. And we rewind that recording of what it felt like when we hurt from those things people said. You know, you're black, you're ugly, you know, you're this, you're that, your hair is nappy, your lips are big, and all of those things are part of the root of rejection. And as I grow stronger in Christ, I know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. And that's one of the things that he uses. So first of all, when you know that spirit, you call it the root of rejection, you bind that spirit, which is what you're doing and what you're talking about. You bind that spirit, that root of rejection, and you send it out in the drought. And you start professing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, because that is a weapon. And it will always, always be on the outskirts, but it cannot penetrate you like it used to. And I'm just thanking God for that this morning, and just being a spirit of encouragement for you. So we are listening to you. And sister girl, we have been there and done that with you, and we're thankful that you're bringing it to the surface and talking about it. Dialogue is so wonderful. So put me back on mute and let me feast on the things that you're saying.
Amen. Thank you, Lady Joyce. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So I thank everyone that has shared. It is encouraging it's always good to know that, you know, you're not the only one. Because I think sometimes when we go through some things, we think that we are the only one and that nobody understands. And so, again, we stay quiet because either we don't want people to think that, you know, crazy or, you know, whatever thoughts that may come to mind that we also deal with, always caring what other people think about us or say. So it's good when other people share. And that's the point. That's the thing where God wants us to get to the point where it's no matter how people may feel, what they may think, we have to get to the point where we share. And, you know, the hardest thing is when you've been in Christ in a long time or you have the titles of, like, the different titles of pastor and evangelist and all those titles, and you still have the remnant or the residue of some things. And so some people will continue to hide because they don't want people to think that they're still experiencing some things, and they've been, you know, a licensed minister for years. And, you know, the enemy tried to play that against me as well, you know, like, you're a licensed minister, you shouldn't still be going through these things. And if you share with people, they're going to look at you crazy because you should know better. You know, that's another trick of the enemy. We have to be transparent. We can't always walk around and have this facade up because we have titles and we don't want nobody to know that we're still going through something. You know, it's okay to be honest, you know, with God and then with yourself, because, you know, we can't hide behind our titles when it comes to God, because God sees every piece of us, every part of us. He sees. So we can't hide behind our titles. We can hide behind our titles when it comes to man, but we can't hide when it comes to God. But the thing is, when you are transparent, people have more respect for you and what it is that you're saying, because they can now see that, okay, you know, they have the title of whatever, but, you know, they may still be struggling with this. And she was bold enough and honest enough to share. People are looking for the truth. In these times, they're looking for the truth. They're not looking for, you know, people who want to continue to hide things because they're afraid of what people may say. When I wrote my book, Release from My Past and Birth into My Destiny, you know, all my stuff was out there. And when going through writing it, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, God, I don't want people to know this, because what are they going to think of me? And God was like, it does not matter what they think. It's what I think. It's what I'm telling you to do. And we never know. Sometimes we do things and we never know why God is having us to do these things. And we got to get to the place where when God is telling us to do something that's uncomfortable, we have to think about other people. Like, okay, then it must be somebody that needs to hear this word. It must be somebody that needs to read this book. It's somebody that needs to be set free from the exact same thing that I'm going through. And so don't make it about yourself. Don't be afraid of what people may say because you did A, B, and C. You know, that's who you were. That's not who you are. And so we have to get to that place where we are okay with sharing, where we are okay with if the people reject us, don't want to have nothing else to do with us after we've shared, then they weren't supposed to be in our lives anyway. God has to become the forefront of who we are, no matter how embarrassed we may be, because God does not place shame on us. That's not of God. But when he tells us to do something, whether it's uncomfortable, it's a reason why he's telling us to share. And I'm not saying that you just go around and you tell everybody your business and things like that. I'm not saying that you got to use wisdom in what it is that you're sharing. You have to use wisdom, because some people don't need to know, you know, what it is, because they are against you, and they're going to use that information against you. So when it comes time to where you need to share your testimony, God will let you know who to share it with and what time and what atmosphere, what arena to share it in. But your enemies are waiting to take hold of some piece of information and they're waiting to use it against you. But remember that God has already forgiven you for it. He has already made provisions. It's nothing that you've done in your past that the enemy can hold against you. He's going to try. You know, he's going to make fun of you. He's going to laugh at you. He's going to do all those things to make you sit down and shut up. But you're doing this for God, and God has equipped you to do it. It's your turn to laugh back at the enemy. So I just wanted to share some, because the spirit of rejection, it produces fruit. And so I just want to share some of those things. Some of them are rebellion in both children and adults, fabricated personalities, being somebody you aren't in order to be accepted, the tendency to reject others so that you aren't the first one to be rejected, a tendency to always wonder if a person rejects or accepts you, the need to fit in or be accepted by others and be a part of everything. Sorry. Self-pity, where a person feels bad for themselves, being all alone, inability to be corrected or receive constructive criticism. Rejection creates an environment where you are starved for love or just don't fit in. The tendency to blame God. Why did he give me this big nose? Why did God make me so short? A sense of pride that says, how dare they reject me? Opinionated personality and the need to be right about things. Feelings of worthlessness, insecurity, or hopelessness. Seeking a parent's approval is a sign that you're basing your identity upon what they think of you. Envy, jealousy, and even hate can be rooted in rejection. Fear of confrontation, because your identity is based upon what they think of you. Now, that not wanting to deal with confrontation, that was one of the biggest issues that, and I'm going to use past tense because I'm not accepting what was anymore. So I would do any and everything to you know, not want to deal with the situation. Confrontation. I would tell people in a minute, oh, I don't deal with confrontation, you know. And then as I started reading about the spirit of rejection, my mouth, you know, dropped open because I didn't even realize that was a fruit of rejection. And so all this time I'm thinking that, you know, that I'm doing a good thing because I don't confront things. I just let them slide. And again, there will be times where you won't need to confront things because God has already moved on your behalf. And then at times God will say, look, this is what you need to say. And so I'm happy now that I know this because I know not to walk in it because it's a fear. It's not that I'm so good that I don't confront things. That's not a good thing when you don't confront things, because sometimes when you don't confront things, you give people permission to treat you the way that they are treating you, permission to not respect you. And so I'm not saying that every time somebody says something to you that you don't agree with, you just jump off the deep end with it and you fussing people out and cursing people out and all that stuff. No. It's a way to confront things that you're going through. It's a way to deal with conflict, and it's not always negative. You can deal with confronting people in a positive way, but it has to come to a place where you have to let people know that there are boundaries. And that's another thing that people that deal with the spirit of rejection, they won't set boundaries because they want everybody to like them, and so they allow everybody to be in their personal space. You know, they allow people to just say things, and you know that you don't like what that person just said, but you don't want to say anything because, and I've done this, you don't want to say anything because you don't want to hurt their feelings, but they just hurt your feelings. Like, it's all a trick of the enemy, and it's twisted. It's twisted at times. Like, that person just said something that hurt your feelings. You don't want to respond because you don't want to hurt their feelings. But and you don't have to respond in a way that you would hurt their feelings. But just to say, listen, I didn't like what you said. What you said hurt my feelings. You know, because you don't want conflict. So you just smile and deal with it, and then later on go home and cry. And it deals with you in a way where you feel like the cowardly lion from off the Wizard of Oz, the cowardly lion. You know, you're scared of everything. You don't want to say anything. You're afraid to hurt people's feelings. And when I say hurting people's feelings, it's not hurting people's feelings. I mean, in a way that you allow people to just say and do things to you because you don't want to hurt their feelings. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And so we have to get to that place where we are okay with saying, hey, look, I don't agree with that. I don't want to talk about that. I can't have this conversation with you. You know, please don't talk to me that way. It's okay to set boundaries for people. Everybody can't be close to you. Everybody can't be in your personal space, you know. And I have a book called Boundaries, and I forgot who it's by. I have a book called Boundaries, and I need to pull that out and read some of that. The spirit of rejection at times will not allow you to say no, even when you don't want to do something. It's hard for you to tell people no because you want to be accepted. You want them to like you. You want them to need you. You want to always be available when they call. And guess what? That causes you to be burned out real quick. It causes you to be overwhelmed. It causes you to let go of things that you want to do because you're so busy wanting to please everybody else that you forgot about yourself. So those who struggle with rejection can also become what we call fixers. A fixer is a person who is eager to tell everybody else how they need to be doing things, but many times have little understanding or experience in such matters. Such a person attempts to be the Holy Spirit in other people's lives where they have no authority or right to step in. They find their identity in fixing other people's problems, and they love it when people come to them for help or advice. Now, because certain things that I've dealt with, I feel like God is pressing me to help other people deal with those things. But if I don't know something, I'll have to say I don't know, because I don't want to steer somebody in the wrong direction and then they're looking at me like, well, you said do this, that, and the other. You told me not to, and you told me to do this, and this is what happened, and it's all, you know, I don't ever want to come to me and say that. And so if I'm not sure about something in a particular area, I just won't. You know, I'll tell them I don't know, or then I'll try to research it to see what it is and try to help them that way. But I don't want to become, I'm not the savior. I'm the vessel in which God uses to bring people to Christ, but I'm not the savior. And even when it came to relationship with my son, it was times where I enabled him because I didn't want to tell him no. I didn't want to hurt his feelings because, you know, his father is no longer here, and I wanted to make sure that he had everything that he needed, and I knew my son was hurting, and I didn't want to be another piece of his hurt. And so I enabled him, you know, didn't give him all the tools and things that he needed. But thank God he's growing. You know, he's growing, and I can see the growth, and I can only attribute that to God. And as parents, children do not come with manuals. They don't come with children's manuals. We learn as we go. We learn as they grow. And we do things the way our parents did in most cases, you know. So it's all a learning experience. But I just thank God for stepping in and making up what I missed and what I didn't do. You know, I just thank God for doing that. I thank God that even though I messed up in raising him, I messed up on some things, but I'm glad that God has stepped in and changed his heart. And I can only rejoice because the way that he was going, you know, I just thank God because where he is now, the actions and the things that he used to do, it would have landed him in jail or no longer here on this earth. And so I just thank God for stepping in. I thank God for the prayers of the righteous. I thank God for hearing my heart. You know, I just thank God. And you know, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, and he is our strength, and he is able to do. And so I want to share, one second, I want to share how to overcome. Sorry, you guys, for some reason. Number one is to pray for the revelation of God's love to show you who you are to him. There is nothing that you can do to earn his love. If you are a parent, you know that when you first held your child, you didn't give that child a laundry list of expectations in order to earn your love. The minute that baby was born, you were in love. And allow that love from your heavenly Father to enter your heart. Pray to see others through the eyes of Christ, not out of your own expectations. Pray that conviction will alert you to negative words that are coming out of your mouth and holding you in bondage. Repent for any word curses you have spoken over yourself or others in the past and break those word curses. Forgive those who have offended you and release all judgment that is causing you to be judged. And that scripture is Matthew 7:2. So, there is a battle in dealing with the spirit of rejection. It is a battle. It is exhausting. It plays on your mind, your thoughts. Some things, the enemy will show you things that aren't true. And there is such a thing called perceived rejection. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Okay. You're not going to shut my mouth. I'm going to keep talking. Where a person receives something as rejection when it really isn't. For example, why is that person not coming over here to talk to me? I'm sorry, guys. I got to get a sip of water. Give me 1 second. I'm so sorry. All right, sorry about that. For example, why is that person not coming over here to talk to me? When the person may not be trying to reject you, but just feel shy at the time and stepping out and meeting you or anybody else for that matter. People who have spirits of rejection can have a tendency to receive perceived rejection because the purpose of a spirit of rejection is to make us feel rejected. A person who feels like God is always angry at them usually has issues of rejection. Perceived rejection can also, if God has rejected them, this is a very common thing that we encounter in the deliverance ministry. So apparently what I'm saying is helping somebody because right now I'm being attacked with this cough all of a sudden. So just give me a second. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for everything that you're doing right now in the name of Jesus, God. That let this word pierce whomever needs it, pierce the heart of whomever needs it. And if they know somebody that is going through this spirit of rejection, oh God, that they would share this show with someone else. So God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your honesty. I thank you for the beauty of who you are, Lord God, and who we are in Christ. We are not who the enemy said we are to show us that we are. We are not that person. We are able to do the things that you've given us to do. You love us unconditionally, and you want to see us set free. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your truth, Lord God. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, Father God, that no matter what we go through, no matter how we operate, God, no matter how many times we run from the calling of on our lives, God, that you are faithful, that you are faithful, that you are faithful, that you are faithful, God, that there is none like you. You are the Prince of Peace, God. You are the Prince of Peace, oh God. You are the Prince of Peace in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And so, God, we bless your name right now. We rejoice right now, oh God. We rejoice right now, God, because we know that the enemy and his demons are upset, God, because this is on the airwaves, God. And so, trying to shut my mouth, and I will not give up, and I will not give in. And God, I just thank you for the people that are being set free even now. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the people that are being set free right now, Father God. I thank you for the people that will hear this show, Lord God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that their hearts will be changed. Their minds, oh God, would be renewed. They would see and know who they are in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 oh God, take over right now, God. Take over right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Take over right now in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that person who this was meant for will hear it and apply it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We come against every attack. Every attack we come against. The spirit of retaliation we come against right now in the name of Jesus. We shall be who you called us to be. Even when we're attacked, oh God, we're doing your work. God, we shall be who you called us to be. And so we thank you right now for choosing us, for calling us, Lord God, for trusting us, even when we didn't trust ourselves, Lord. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, y'all. I'm sure you guys can hear it, but it's really hard for me to talk right now. It's really hard for Lady Joyce, I'm going to unmute you really quick. if you can just pray, please, I'm going to unmute you. So please just pray. So I'm trying to get myself together, please. Thank you. 1 second. Lady Joyce, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Spirit of a living God, you knew that even this was going to happen this morning. And you said no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Father. So in the spirit, we know that she is okay. But, Father, in the natural, she's going through. And as we, as her prayer warriors, as her sisters in Christ, we're praying as we give her natural throat an opportunity to get itself together. It's been prayed over. She is set free. Just giving her that just extra moment to just relax, because the more she talks, the more, the worse it's going to be. But please know, my sister, that we are praying for you. We're praying in the spirit, Father, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And yes, everybody who was supposed to hear what you're saying, they're going to hear it, then they're going to receive it, and they're going to grow thereby. So God said that he would be with you even through this, Father. And as you drink your water, it's anointed, and the flow of blood is running through it, Father. Your throat is being healed. We hear Apostle Banks go through that each and every week, Father. And we know that it's spiritual warfare, Father. The sinus drainage, or just the swallowing of your sputum, and it goes down the wrong way, Father. All of these things happening in the natural, but we know that the enemy is in charge of what is happening right now. So, Father, for everyone who's on the line, we ask you to be in agreement, to touch and be in agreement as she is getting herself together. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, and we do give thanks. So, Father, the root that she's talking about, Father, is deep. The information that she's about to give is important, Father, and it will not be stopped. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My sister,
amen.
Just give yourself a few moments in the natural. The spiritual warfare is on, and we got you. We got you. We're surrounding you. Just take some deep breaths and just allow the Spirit of God to rest your throat. Just rest your throat. Peace be still. 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 The service that the radio show is back to being a full hour, so we have additional time, and the enemy does not want it to go forth, Father, but this root that we are talking about, we bind it in Jesus' name. We bind it and send it out in the drought, Father. We've stepped into those shoes before ourselves, each one individually, and some of us collectively. So as we're giving her an opportunity to get herself together in the natural, because Satan, you are a defeated foe in Jesus' name, and this broadcast will go forth, and she will do mighty works greater than this, because you have tried to attack us, and we are women of God, and we will fight this war with her. Let me know when you're ready to go back on, because I will just continue to pray. Okay, it's still happening. If you have hot water, that'll help a little bit more. And all the prayer warriors that are on the line, pray in the spirit that around me. Let us touch and agree and surround her. Surround her with love and surround her with peace. Surround her with everything that she needs this moment. Father, you're worthy, Father, you're able. Lift her up, Father, lift her up. Heal her voice, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, all right. So it's at this time it's 9:53. I'm gonna go ahead and end the show. It's like 7 minutes early. So I'm gonna go ahead and end the show. But Lady Joyce, I do thank you for interceding and stepping in. And I thank the rest of you all that were on here praying. Give me 1 second because I see somebody else wanted to say something. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Your last 4 digits are 3149. Good morning.
God bless you. God bless you.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yeah, I can hear you.
I hope you can hear. Praise God. Basically, I just wanted to chime in to share and simply say, and that's what it's all about, knowing that we, the members of the body of Christ, is not an individual. It's a body, and that we all are here to do our part. And even the whole situation is being used for God's glory, in that, woman of God, you didn't quit. You continued on. Even with your topic and talking about rejection, and that's what it is. It's all about. God wants us to know. His word tells us that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we are challenged and have situations that are beyond our control, what do? We don't bail out. we continue on in the grace of God and the strength of God. And as long as we don't quit, as long as we don't give up, as long as we stick in there, no matter how it looks, doesn't even matter how it looks, because we know that we're doing it in the grace of God, that we continue to move on, and him. And that the victory is already won. Our job is just to continue on, to stand. Haven't done all to do, just stand. And we just thank God for Lady Joyce just coming in. And I tried. I tried to get in earlier. I actually had to go look on the website. I had to, all the different steps I had to do to get to the point where you're able to hear me. See, that's the thing. God knows and he sees it all. We don't know and we don't see. We only see what we see. But God knows it's a body ministry, and he has people who are getting in place trying to do things to make the burden, to make the assignment bearable. And we just thank God for you. We thank God for all that was said. We know that God's word will not return to him void. Yes, people were delivered. People were set free. It God's word has accomplished all that it was sent to do. And we just thank God that we operate in his love, knowing again that we have a role to play, a part to do, and we stand up and do our part. He didn't say we got to do it all. He just told us to be obedient, to do the part that he has told us to do. When we're obedient to do what he has told us to do, that's all he requires us to do, is to just be obedient. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God be the glory. I just wanted to share what he placed in my heart with that. And I'm just grateful for the freedom that is allowed on this line for us to chime in and to share. And to God be all the glory. Love you, my sister. Love you.
I love you too, lady daughter. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And we hope to hear from you next week as we get back to heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Everybody have an awesome and prosperous weekend and a blessed week next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.